podcast listeners. Ron Paul concludes by stating, if Congress does not show some sense of financial restraint soon, we can expect the poor to become poorer, the middle class to become smaller, and the government to get bigger and more authoritarian, while the liberty of the people is diminished. The illusion that deficits, printing money, and expanding the welfare and welfare states serves the people must come to an end. Well, that's Ron Paul before Congress on the 15th of September. The federal Congress, people, the design has been in place since before we were born, listeners, most of us. We were born into a set-up scenario, and we live a set-up scenario today, as I see it. A global New World Order being implanted on us without our knowing. This is why we're never told that the Secretary of the Treasury, the Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund of the U.N. system. This is paramount information, vital information, that is kept secret to the American people. How can that be, people? How can we be so dumbed down at this point in time? I've received some negative response regarding the long upload time for the website. Well, I understand. But I don't know how to get over that quandary at this point. Maybe we'll get it taken care of. Maybe we won't. And if you don't hang around for it to load up, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, listeners. Ron Paul has something else to say on October 11th. The misnamed National Endowment for Democracy is nothing more than a costly program that takes U.S. taxpayer funds to promote favored politicians and political parties abroad. What the NEED does in foreign countries through its recipient organizations, the National Democratic Institute, the NDI, and the International Republican Institute, the IRI, would be rightly illegal in the United States. The NEED, National Endowment for Democracy, NEED, N-E-D, or NID, that's the National Endowment for Democracy, N-E-D, injects soft money into the domestic elections of foreign countries in favor of one party or the other. Imagine what a couple of $100,000 would do to assist a politician or political party in a relatively poor country abroad. It is particularly Orwellian to call U.S. manipulation of foreign elections, quote, promoting democracy, end quote. How would Americans feel if the Chinese arrived with millions of dollars to support certain candidates deemed friendly to China? Well, didn't they do that with the Clinton election, listeners? Would this be viewed as a democratic development? And yeah, I would say it would. In an excellent study of the folly of the National Endowment for Democracy, Barbara Conroy notes that, quote, NED, which also has a history of corruption and financial mismanagement, is superfluous at best and often destructive. Through the endowment, the American taxpayer is paid for special interest groups to harass the duly elected governments of friendly countries, interfere in foreign elections, and foster the corruption of democratic movements. The controversy surrounding NED questions the wisdom of giving a quasi-private organization the fiat to pursue what is effectively an independent foreign policy under the guise of promoting democracy. Proponents of NED maintain that a private organization is necessary to overcome the restraints that limit the activities of a government agency, yet they insist that the American taxpayer provide full funding for this initiative. NED's detractors point to the inherent contradiction of a publicly funded organization that is charged with executing foreign policy a power oppressively given to the federal government in the Constitution, yet exempt from nearly all political and administrative controls. In the final analysis, the endowment embodies the most negative aspects of both private aid and official foreign aid, the pitfalls of decentralization, loose cannon foreign policy efforts, combined with the impression that the United States is trying to run the show around the world, end quote. The National Endowment for Democracy is dependent on the U.S. taxpayer for funding, but because NED is not a government agency, is not subject to congressional oversight, it is indeed a heavily subsidized foreign policy loose cannon. We'll be back to continue. Stay here. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. Let's move to the phones. Let's take Paul in Florida. Hello, Paul. How are you today?
Hey, well, we're getting wet down here. We got a system coming, and not very windy, but just a lot of rain.
Uh-huh.
But what I wanted to ask you was, yesterday, late in the afternoon, I heard that several Patriot Internet sites went down, and that was unsubstantiated, so I didn't call anybody on it. And I listened to George last night at 1 o'clock my time, and in his news at the beginning of the program, he also mentioned that the Patriot news sites had gone down, and that these were serviced by Time Warner and their IPS, the Internet Service thing, whatever it is, called Roadrunner, had gone down. And I was just wondering, have you heard anything about it seemed to be exclusively Patriot websites that went down. I might be mistaken, but did you hear anything about that?
Actually, Paul, I have not. But yeah. That doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
Oh, it did happen because somebody, Alex's website went down.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they got him. And I don't know if anybody else's did, too. Now, I you know, paranoid me down here. I'm seeing a certain scenario.
Why
developing.
Would you be paranoid?
Well, the paranoia is a disease you die from at a very old age.
They have fires going on now.
Yep.
And, I'm looking at a wind-fueled fire, people.
I see that in Congress, I heard that there is some kind of a hate speech bill similar to what has been adopted in Canada that is presently going through the House or the Senate or something.
Let me interrupt you real quick here. Over 8 million acres of fire have just happened in this country, the worst in history, and yet we have a Global Fire Monitoring Center monitoring these fires, and we have sustainable communities being developed for us. Now, here we are, Paul, with these directions that are in place that we're not told about. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. I'm saying if this bill goes through, would that give them the legal right to shut down Patriot websites?
I don't think they have a legal right to shut down freedom. I don't think anyone has the right to shut down freedom, and I think that's why we have to increase our numbers and get a little angry at the federal Congress that's playing these games with us and the federal system and the appointed people that are taking their jobs and paychecks. Joe Bannister, in my opinion, made a major stand for our country by disavowing the IRS.
Yeah.
And you know, the only hope we have here, you know, I've been criticized, and I really don't care, that I don't have any solutions. Listen, I didn't have solutions back in 1970 when I thought in 1970, when I was number 12 to be chosen to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
I did not think we'd have a country past 1990. The only solution there is for people not to participate in this ruse in the world.
Yeah.
The Chinese communist military have to say, no, we aren't going to do this anymore. We want to take that poster of Mao Zedong down. We want to restore free China, the Republic of China, which is over on Taiwan.
Yeah.
And we want to stop this movement that's going on for the United Nations system.
Yeah, well, look what happened in the Ukraine when they had that farce election some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
The people knew it was a farce. And what they did is they moved into Kiev and they sat there in front of the government buildings, and they said, we are not going to move. We've been waiting for this for I don't know how many years, and you're not going to pull this Soviet-style tactic on us. And it worked. It actually worked. There was another election, and the pro-Russian candidate was thrown out on his ear.
Uh-huh.
Booted out.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that the Ukrainians got it right. And, you know, I'm not advocating any kind of an armed insurrection or anything violent at all. I'm not advocating anything like that. But I'm saying that the best weapon that the truth has is freedom of information.
Right.
And if what happened yesterday is a symptom or a trial run for what could potentially happen, this is what really concerns me. Maybe it was just a mechanical flaw. Maybe it was just a fluke. Maybe it just, you know, it was an accident. Somebody threw the wrong switch. I don't know.
I doubt it.
But,
if that's the case, I doubt it.
But once the powers that be, whoever they are, decide to stop the free flow of information
and documentation,
and that is next to the last nail in the coffin, as far as I'm concerned. But I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. I don't know, didn't know whether you had heard about it or not.
I had not paid attention, and I appreciate that information.
All right, Chris.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. You know, you have to get down to this State Department publication 7277 from 1961. You have to connect that dot to what's being engineered today. You have to realize that they're progressively strengthening over all these decades a United Nations military. That's what State Department publications document is. It's the progressively strengthened United Nations Peace Force. The peacekeepers. Well, we've had more wars than any time in human history in the last 60 years, where the 60th anniversary of the UN is on October 24th. You know, I'm a little angered at the lack of documentation that does not spread to the population of this country to realize what we're in the middle of right now. The fact that our troops are in Iraq to oust Saddam Hussein, whether they found this real Saddam Hussein or not, that's another story. What do we know about mind control to manipulate that situation with this real or presumed real Saddam Hussein? And why hasn't he been put on public trial? Why haven't others from other countries that have been taken out been put on public trial? You know, it's the whole point of this is the documentation stands for itself and speaks for itself. Public Law 87-297 brought State Department Publication 7277 into public law, into the U.S. Code. Upgraded in 1989, Public Law 101-216 upgraded the complete disarmament of the world. That means yours and my firearms to defend ourselves. And what are they doing? The engineering of a pandemic to vaccinate us, indoctrinate us, and move us out of our locations to concentration camps. Posse comitatus, eliminating that and have martial law with the military. Well, this was planned long ago. That's why Dr. William Pabst sued the federal government in 1976 for the concentration camp program on the American citizens. No one knows what happened to Dr. Pabst and his courageous stand in his lengthy lawsuit, where Henry Kissinger was indicted, Gerald Ford was indicted, Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, was indicted. Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense during the Ford administration, listeners. He needs a public hearing with truth serum. But the people on the inside that are part of this federal system and part of this UN system have to understand what they're a part of. A global democracy. And it's going to be communism. Democracy is the code word for communism, listeners. Democracy is the code word for communism. That's why democratization of Iraq is being promoted. And what a boondoggle that is. Let's move back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky. Hello, Mike.
Well, while that guy was talking about the problems with the web pages going down, it actually is not the web page itself that's going down, but filters that the various internet service providers are installing for under the guise of protecting, you know, your family from, you know, politically incorrect or you know, of course, smut, that sort of thing. And the problem is with some of the web pages that get classified as hate speech or something by these non-governmental entities that are servicing their customers, you know, and that mm-hmm. that was the case with mainly, I think, most of the GCN family of pages. Now, I don't know if it affected any of RBN, but there is a workaround because we had found libraries and schools, colleges, universities, things like that, that were filtering web pages a year or two ago. And there is a way to go through, I think, the American Registry for Internet Numbers,
mm-hmm.
ARIN.net, or using what's called the IP numbers, and that gets around the filters. So instead of typing in the name for a web page that you're looking for, if you can find that using whois.com or some of the various internet whois search functions, you can get the IP numbers or addresses that you type in. It's a string of numbers. Like it'll be like three numbers and then a period and then two numbers and then a period and then three more numbers and then a period. So it's kind of cumbersome for most people, but there is a way to do that if you are have an internet service provider that is filtering a website that you used to be able to get. You can work around it by getting that IP number instead of using the name for the site in the address bar. So I just thought I'd plug that. It's kind of a hacker, I guess, sort of trick.
Uh-huh.
But it has to do with the way that the internet addresses are assigned. Not only do you get that internet name, but you have that number also. And there's IP address lookups and number lookups all over the web. You can just go to Google or any other search engine of preference and type that in, like IP number address or whois.com, and you'll come up with hundreds of web pages where you can research how to work around the filter. And I mean, I'm not trying to give away a way for, you know, youngsters or whatever to get to unauthorized web pages, but unfortunately, if they're going to try to do this tactic, then we're going to have to fight back somehow.
Yes.
But that will get around the filter in most cases that I've heard about. So I just thought I'd offer that. And again, it's not the web page itself going down. It is the service provider that you're going through that you either dial up to or your cable modem connects to or your wireless internet connects to. They are blocking it. They are filtering it using software, again, that's designed to filter out smut.
Uh-huh.
That's the excuse for it. But this has been a problem for a number of years. And, of course, the internet community, when they first started doing this, was saying it's going to be the camel getting its nose under the tent for censorship under the guise of, just like always, it's for the children.
Well, and pornography on the web is, you know,
It's pervasive. It's
terrible. Very perverted, isn't it?
It's terrible.
Yes.
I mean, you know, everybody talks about cigarettes being a gateway drug, you know, or whatever for teenagers. Well, pornography, it seems, has a similar problem. It's like, you know, after a while, you need more and more perverted stuff, or at least some people do, to get, you know, get what they want out of it. So, you know, there's no limit.
Oh, and Mike, don't we have many people totally perverted in our country today? Total perversion in people. Child molesters, sodomites. I mean, you know, this is insane is what it is.
Don't step over the edge. Don't step on that slippery slope because you'll be sliding right on down into the gutter.
There
with
it
the
is.
Rest of them.
There it is. The dumbing down starting in extremes in the 1930s of our society and the drugging down starting in extremes in the 1960s.
Well, the roaring 20s you know, helped a little bit, I think.
Sure.
And then, of course, you had the, what was it, the gay 90s in the 1890s where loose women wore pedal pushers and rode a bicycle. I mean, it seems like there's a waxing and waning, but every 20 years, it's like you've got to outdo grandma and grandpa while they, you know, you know, while when we was growing up, Sonny, we did this, you know, and then the next generation has to outdo them or something. I don't know, but it's, you know, the stuff that's on the net, there's just apparently no limit and no scruples, you know. And of course, anything to stop it would be censorship. But
yes,
and unfortunately, I think it's backfiring or whatever, going overboard with filtering sites in the constitutional or patriot community genre. It's just silly. But you know, whatever is considered hate speech, I don't know. You know.
Well, it's whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course,
it's just like me being called a conspiracy theorist.
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point it's not a theory anymore, right? I mean,
right. We
could say that the people wanting to teach evolutionary teaching in the school are some, you know, a theorist because they call it evolutionary theory. You know?
Look, there's no theory about what our military is doing. There's no theory that weather modification and environmental modification is a reality.
Well, if the government's funding it, there's a real conspiracy because they're not getting anything out of the millions and millions of dollars that they've sent into these programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we getting for our money? They must be getting something.
Yes.
And, of course, the Pentagon says for years that they can't properly account for, you know, a trillion here or a trillion there, and pretty soon you're talking about some serious dang money, you know. Where's it going?
There you go.
A lot of black ops that they're running on us. Anyway, somebody told me they saw a bumper sticker today that I've got to find. It simply just says, One Nation Under Surveillance.
There you go.
All right. Thanks.
Well,
so much.
Stated. Thank you, Mark. Well stated. You've never heard of this, the UNGLS, the Non-Governmental Liaison Service. You've never heard of it. I know you have never heard of it because I've never heard of it. As a worldwide non-governmental organization, and this is entitled Implementing Agenda 21, Sustainable Development and World Citizenship by Lawrence Arturo. Once again, as a worldwide non-governmental organization, the Baha'i international community has long had an interest in sustainable development and environmental protection. In the 1920s, Richard St. Barbie Baker, a Baha'i founded the Man of the Trees, which was one of the first international environmental organizations. During the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, he hosted the groundbreaking World Forestry Charter gatherings. We'll be back to continue. Stay with us.